God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Mark 1. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an unclean spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come at this time to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Dear friends in Christ, it's a Sabbath day in Capernaum, so where would you expect to find Jesus? In the synagogue, or the gathering place of God's people, even if it is Super Bowl Sunday. The Sabbath was a holy day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That meant no work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. The word Sabbath or Shabbat means rest. Slaves had to work 7 days a week without rest, but God's freed people were told to work 6 days and to rest with the Lord on the Sabbath. Rest didn't mean sleeping in until the pregame show, nor did it mean getting out the Winnebago and heading to the lake. Rest meant worship, gladly hearing and learning the word of God. For the Israelites, your rest began on Friday evening with a restful meal and a good night's sleep, followed by a day full of the word of God in the synagogue. Even this reveals how sinful we really are, that God has to command us to rest on the Sabbath day. You would think we'd want to rest, wouldn't you? But God has command us to rest. Remember the rest day to keep it holy. And what do we say? Do we have to? As if resting our souls in the grace, mercy, and forgiveness of Jesus is a bad thing. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. And if we're restless, it may be because we're not resting regularly in God's word, centered in Jesus and his forgiving blood and resurrection and abiding presence to give us rest, even rest for our souls. Augustine once said, "Even as Noah released the dove from the ark, and it returned to the ark for it could find no rest, so our souls are restless until they find their rest in thee, O Lord." Now on this particular Sabbath, Jesus was in the synagogue teaching. What astonished the people is that he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. You see, the scribes took great pains to credential their teaching. So they would say things like, "Well, I was taught by Rabbi so-and-so, who was taught by Rabbi so-and-so, who was taught by Rabbi so-and-so, all the way back in unbroken succession to Moses." And so a scribe's teaching was only as good as his being able to prove that his teachers went back to Moses. But not so with Jesus. Jesus taught with authority that came from himself. "You have heard it said, but I say to you." The people hadn't heard this kind of teaching since Moses and the prophets of old. Jesus taught with the full weight and authority of God himself, because he was God himself. He didn't need a string of credentials to establish his authority. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to him. And the people were amazed because they hadn't heard teaching like this. Mark doesn't tell us what Jesus was teaching on this particular day, but we can assume from what he had been teaching in other episodes that he was teaching basically the same message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, ready to be given to you. Or repent and believe the good news, and you will be saved. And then something unusual happened. A man with an unclean spirit, or a demon, jumped up in the middle of Jesus' sermon and shouted, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come at this time to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." You see, wherever the good news of Jesus is proclaimed, you can be sure that the devil and the demons are going to be hard at work. There's nothing the devil hates more than the preaching of Christ crucified for sinners, because when sinners hear and believe the good news that Jesus has forgiven all of their sins and rescued them from death and the devil, well, at that point, the devil is defeated in his goal to rob us of our salvation. The devil does not want you to hear the good news. For example, in Hebrews 2, that Jesus shared in our humanity so that by his death, he might destroy the one who held the power of death over us, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. That good news sets us free from the devil's tyranny, and it gives us rest, even rest for our souls, even rest for all eternity. As a result, when Jesus gets up to proclaim the good news that he's come to set us free from sin, death, and the devil by forgiving every sin we ever did wrong, so that the devil cannot accuse us and have his charges stick, a demonized man stands up and begins to shout and disrupt the worship and the proclaiming and receiving of the good news of Jesus. You see, the devil knows what we're often slow or hard of heart to believe. The demons know both that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Christ, the Holy One of God, and they know that he will, sooner or later, finally destroy them. It's just a matter of time. The devil's only hope to rob us of our salvation is to short-circuit Calvary, either by keeping Jesus from going to the cross and dying, or by keeping us from hearing and believing this good news. This is why the demons were always trumpeting that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, why did they do this? Because at the time, the people believed that the Messiah was going to be a great earthly ruler who would conquer all their enemies, but not a Messiah who had to bleed and die to save us. And that's why the demons would oftentimes shout that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, while people had a wrong understanding. He was trying to get them fixated on the wrong kind of Messiah, so that when they did hear straight from Jesus himself that he did have to suffer and die to forgive us our sins, then they might think of him as a failure and give up on him. You see, the devil and the demons are okay with you believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as long as you believe in a Christ without a cross, without forgiving blood, and without a resurrection from death. You remember when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew 16? But when Jesus told them that what it meant for him to be the Christ, the Messiah, that he must suffer and die and on the third day rise from the dead, Peter rebuked him. Never, Lord, never will this happen to you. So Jesus had to rebuke Peter and say, "Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. You want a Jesus without a cross." The Christ must suffer, die, and rise again, or there's no salvation for you, me, or the world. But Jesus isn't going to put up with a demon or a devil that keeps people from hearing their forgiveness and being saved through faith. As a result, with just a word, Jesus silences this disruptive demon. "Shut up," he says. Now, I know that's considered impolite these days to say shut up, especially among children. But you can't be polite to the devil, and Jesus isn't. In the Greek, that's what Jesus literally said, "shut up." The same word he spoke to the storm that threatened to capsize the disciples' little boat on the Sea of Galilee. He tells the demon, "shut up and come out of him." And I'm always amazed how easily Jesus can manhandle the devil and the demons with just a word. And even though the devil makes a circus sideshow by convulsing the man and shrieking as he leaves, nevertheless, like it or not, the demon has to submit to the authoritative word of Jesus, because Jesus is Lord, even of the devil and the demons. Talk about authority. What Jesus says goes. He's the Word, the true God in the flesh dwelling among us. That's what this sign is all about. It's not about how Jesus will chase away your demons like a termite exterminator. No. With just a word, the demon flees. He has no choice. Jesus is bringing order into our chaotic lives. And the devil and demons have to submit to Jesus because he is their Lord. And he is our Lord and Savior. His words not only cause the demons to flee, his word sets the captives free. This is not simply persuasive preaching on the part of Jesus. No, Jesus' words cut through darkness. Jesus' words cast out demons, change water into wine, calm storms, cleanse lepers, heal the paralyzed, raise the dead, and forgive sinners. Jesus' word declares, with the full weight and authority of God, that baptism saves you, 1 Peter 3, that the bread of the supper is Christ's body given for you, and the wine is his blood shed for you, Matthew 26. By his word, your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. By his word, you've already crossed over from death to life. By his word, you are alive and risen to die no more, even in your dying body. And by his word, he will raise you from the dead on the last day to live forever in the paradise of God. Does this good news not give you rest for your soul? It is this same authoritative word of Jesus that still shuts the mouths of demons and sends them fleeing. It is this same authoritative word of Jesus that still sets sinners free from Satan's tyranny by causing all of his accusations against us to roll right off of us because of his forgiving blood. It is this same authoritative word that we hear today that brings us into the kingdom of God. Colossians 1, God rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Don't let the demons continue to demonize you with their lies. How? By coming to word and resting in your saving, victorious Jesus. The devil and the demons are just shooting blanks. Don't let the devil convince you that he's won. He already knows he's lost. That's why Revelation 12 says he is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. The demons know it too. That's why the demon cries out, "Have you come at this time to destroy us?" Yes, the devil will still lie, deceive, tempt, and seduce you to give up on Jesus, let go of Jesus, forget about Jesus, sin against Jesus. The only weapon he has left is the lie. He will still attack you in any way he can with lies and temptations. He will still try to drive you to doubt and despair. Luther believed in the devil so much, and he was attacked by the devil so much. There were times Luther literally would throw his ink bottle at the devil when he was being attacked. But Luther also knew that Christ had totally defeated the devil. Luther once famously wrote, "One night as I was falling asleep, I heard noises in my house. When I finally realized it was the devil, I rolled over and went back to sleep." Luther knew how utterly defeated the devil was by Jesus Christ. It was both the victory of Christ over the devil at the cross and the continual authority of Christ's words over the devil that led Luther to write, "Though devils all the world should fill, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none, he's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him," and that is the authoritative word of Jesus. At times you and I take the devil too seriously, as if he were more powerful than Jesus. He's not, and he knows he's not. Have you come at this time to destroy us? At other times we take the devil too lightly, believing that the devil and demons are nothing more than fairy tales and pixie dust or something you can play with by sinning. 1 Peter warns us, be alert, be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. In the Greek it says, keep on resisting him. How? Standing firm in the faith. This implies that the devil is resistible. He is defeatable. How? By standing firm in the faith that Jesus has conquered him. Revelation 12, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. James 4, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. This is why we come to church, to rest our souls in the authoritative and forgiving words of our victorious Savior. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Those words are spoken into the darkness of your sins, silencing the demons, and delivering you from Satan's tyranny and bondage. The devil wants you, but the only way he can have you is by getting between you and Jesus. This is why we come to worship, to hear Jesus' authoritative word spoken against our sin, against the devil, against the world. It is a word that sets us free. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. All in Jesus. Amen.